We tell the stories of family businesses across the St. Louis region, and this weekend is part two of our conversation with the owner and CEO of Major Brands, Susan McCullum. If you missed it last weekend, you can find it at KMOX.com. In the podcast section, just look for the business of family business. To give you an idea of where we last left off, Major Brands, a company founded in the 1930s, a distributor in the state of Missouri. Susan married into the family business. Her husband, Todd, at the time, came back to Missouri to work with the family business, Major Brands. Susan, also a major part of the company at the time, had a life-changing phone call.
I get out of a class. It ended at 2 o'clock, and I was trying to decide whether I would go to the grocery store before picking up my son from school or just pick him up from school and go to the grocery store. Mm-hmm. And my phone rang, and it was an EMT in Chicago.
Oh, wow.
And he was in the ambulance. He said, I've got your husband. They go through, you know, what is he on any medications? He said, well, he's had a seizure, and we're taking him to the hospital. And, you know, he's going to go to Northwestern Hospital in downtown Chicago. And you're just like, you're just in shock, right? Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, and he said, I think you need to get to Chicago. Mm-hmm. That's the EMT in the ambulance. So I literally drove from the parking lot at Snowway Garage at WashU by the law school at Washington University and drove to the airport and got on the next Southwest flight. Mm-hmm. Assuming, okay, and you know, everything runs through your mind, right? Yeah. Okay, it's whatever.
It probably doesn't help. You have a lot of downtime waiting to travel and keep thinking.
Yeah.
Like,
and then, of course, you run into someone you know at the airport and you're like, where are you going? And you're like, I'm going to Chicago. Mm-hmm. You know, so anyway, that was the day that bent my life. It turned out that my husband had a brain tumor. He had surgery on it a few days later. They thought it would be benign. It wasn't. It was cancerous. And we were in Chicago for 10 straight days. I had two sons here. He came back, and life as we knew it was forever different. Mm-hmm. And I was in law school at the time, and it was a family business. None of my husband's family was in the business. Mm. And we had a succession plan, and the succession plan was always was like, okay, you'll take over, right? But I always said it was a great succession plan. The only thing that was wrong was the timing. Mm-hmm. It wasn't supposed to happen when it happened.
Sure.
And we were very hopeful with Todd's diagnosis, but at the same time, brain cancer is brain cancer. And that's really when, you know, I came back to town and said, I'm going to have to get involved in the business. So that was the fall of 2010. My official first day, I think, was whatever, January 1, 2011. But I started going to the office in the fall, and I remember talking to my kids. And Todd actually had two brain surgeries. He had one on October 4th, and then he had one right before Thanksgiving because they had a second surgery. Hmm. And it was kind of like, what are we going to do? You know, what are we going to do now? It's a good question, isn't it?
What was, at the time with Todd, was he someone that was still, I got to continue to live my life the way it was, or did he understand that it wasn't going to be the same?
I think he was a little bit of both.
Yeah?
I think he was like, oh, I'm going to work every day. I'm going to double down on exercise. I'm going to eat healthy. But I also think I got to, you know, recognize that this is, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I got to make the most of every minute. You know, he wrote a letter telling people he was sick, and it was really around that. But it was very hopeful, and it was like, we're going to continue on. And this is what I think is so important about, and it's something Dan said earlier. Family businesses are legacies, mm-hmm. and they're not just legacies for the family. I think we all get caught up in, and I think maybe that's when I say I'm the holder of this. They're legacies for the people in the business. Mm-hmm. They're legacies for the values of the business. They're legacies for the idea that we can create a business and we can do it our way, and it can be a reflection of our values. Mm-hmm. They're really a privilege. So I never think about it being about the families per se, but about the legacy. And Todd was adamant that this business was not his legacy per se like mine, mm-hmm. but his legacy per se in ours. Mm-hmm. Ours being everyone in it. And we always say at Major Brands, the family in our family business are the people that work here, the family we've created within what we do, the respect we have with one another, but the idea that, you know, we're kind of here for each other. Yeah. We're kind of working with each other. We're on the same team. We have the same goal. So I think Todd was very much about that, which is where I came in.
Yeah.
And there's a strong memory I have of trying to figure out how to deal with this all. And people at WashU were like, Sue, you need to stay in law school. Because I went to talk to the dean and said, first of all, I was like their second oldest student ever to be. I started law school at 49. So, and they're like, don't give up. We want you to see if, go take your exams, try to go to class if you can. But don't give up yet. And this was from my professors as well. I mean, it was really this amazing thing that no one wanted me to give up. And the students who were much younger were baking cookies and leaving them at my door, giving me their notes, saying, we'll pick up your kids. We'll babysit for you. Don't quit. That don't quit thing, you know. And then the people at Major Brands were like, and I'm like, oh, no, don't worry. Like, you know, we had a meeting. A quarterly meeting, and I remember saying to them, I said, I'm going to tell you what I told my kids, which is we're just going to do what we've always done. You, my son had to, I said, you're going to take the SATs. My younger son, you know, you're going to get up in the morning, you're going to, you know, you're going to tie your shoes, you're going to put on your backpack, and you're going to go to school. I am not going to quit law school. And at Major Brands, we're not going to stop being who we are or doing what we do. This will not define us, right? So it was that idea that, what do? You got to keep doing what you were doing. But now you might have more passion about it, more purpose, and more legacy.
Sue, I can't imagine how hard that was, that you're being torn in all these different directions, and everyone's trying to, you know, you of course you have your family, your kids, and you have Todd, and then you have, you know, your school, and everyone's trying to encourage you to continue with school, and then you have Major Brands, and everyone's trying to encourage that. You're being just grabbed from every direction, getting pulled. How, that must have been incredibly difficult.
So I grew up in Buffalo, New York. And it snows a lot there.
Yeah.
It used to snow more. Or as I tell my kids, we walked to school. I walked to school with hills both ways. It was just because it snowed so much. Well, there are driveways and you shovel them. We had a long driveway and the snow plow comes, you know, and you just finish shoveling it. And the plow comes and they're the big plows and they dump. It's not just snow. They dump that icy, crusty snow, you know, at the edge. And you just got to reshovel the driveway. And I always was liking what happened is like, you know what? The driveway just kept getting full with snow, but it was still my driveway.
Yeah.
I still had to get out. You know, I had to clean it. So, you know, the people always like, how'd you do it? It's like, how could I not have done it? Could I have quit law school? I could have. I graduated in 2015. It took me 5 years. It took me longer, but I graduated because it was important that, and it, by the way, it was a great, this sounds so odd, but when you're up at night anyway, it was a great way to read and take my mind off of things. Mm. It really ended up being probably very therapeutic because I had to focus. I had intention behind my focus. And I just had to steal a couple hours every day.
Yeah.
But I don't know what was the choice.
Thanks for joining us this weekend on The Business of Family Business. We'll continue our conversation next with Susan McCollum. She's the owner and CEO of Major Brands. Also, Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, who presents this program, The Business of Family Business on KMOX. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. And family businesses are like every other family business. In many ways, it's a lot closer. As you hear the story between Susan and her husband, Todd, I want you to imagine what it's like when there's a board and there's a business, there's employees, and they're all depending on you. Sometimes you have time before that decision, sometimes you don't. And CMA is there to help either way. They're ready to help you integrate and transition to the next generation, either ownership or leadership. CMA Consulting leads a multidisciplinary team to help family businesses unify the next generation and develop them to be effective business owners. CMA will offer you a complimentary, no-obligation meeting to discuss your family business, discuss your situation. Is the easiest thing for you to do, and it could be one of the most important things you do as a family business, asking that question, what can you do to help us? CMA Consulting, their website, cmaconsult.com, or you can give them a call at 314-721-1860, 314-721-1860. Susan McCollum is the CEO and owner of Major Brands, sharing the story between her and her husband, Todd, how she became an emergency successor, and where the company stands today. You can listen to part one of our conversation by going to KMOX.com in the podcast section. Just look it up in the Business of Family Business. We're also joined by Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. Did the doctors tell you how much time Todd had left? Did they know?
So the doctors were wrong. So initially, his first diagnosis, when we went to talk to the first set of doctors, they said, we'll give you 3 to 5 years. Then Todd was treated at NIH, National Institutes of Health, because he had a certain type of tumor. Mm-hmm. And so he qualified for research, and they were the ones who did the second surgery. They put him on a special chemotherapy regimen, and he did radiation chemo and then additional chemo.
Mm-hmm.
And in May of 2011, they pronounced him cancer-free.
Wow.
And they said, you know, we just might hit a home run with you. I'll never forget the doctor said, we just might hit a home run with you. We just might get 10 years, maybe even 20.
Hmm.
You're in great physical health. You've got the right genetic markers. You've got no signs that there's any remaining cancer. So in July of 2011, Todd went for a routine checkup at NIH. We also took my son to visit schools in Washington, D.C.
Mm.
We were so confident that he was going to go in for, he had to do MRIs. He was going to go in for his MRI on the one day, and the next morning have an appointment. And that afternoon, we were going to take Michael to see some colleges.
Mm-hmm.
And that morning at the doctor's office, we had to tell Michael, he came with us. We said, we're not going to be seeing any schools this afternoon. Mm. The cancer had already returned.
Mm.
So it ended up being super aggressive. And he had a third brain surgery in July of 2011. He went into clinical trials, didn't work. And so by September of 2011, it was pretty evident that Todd, as the doctor said, it's just a matter of time.
Mm. That's something to reflect back on. On the business side, was the CEO position, were you officially at the helm of major brands?
I wasn't officially at the helm yet. This was so important to Todd that first of all, he was going to work every day and working.
Is that right?
Yes.
Wow.
Todd missed very few days of work. Brain surgery, was for him, it was, he bounced back so quickly because mm-hmm. physically, it was his brain versus, he could walk, he could do yeah. things. I mean, after the third surgery, there was much more recovery time, but initially it was just amazing how quickly he recovered from the surgeries, and he wanted to go back to work. He wanted to be purposeful. This
yeah.
was his job, and this is what he knew, and to sit at home all day didn't seem to make sense.
Mm-hmm.
It was at that time that it really became clear that I was going to be running this company.
Yeah.
And so, but we weren't there yet, because
yeah.
if we went there yet, it was like taking away hope. You
yeah.
always have to have hope.
I know what you mean.
And if all of a sudden, like on that day I was CEO, it was like, no, it's his company to run.
Yeah. There was a board involved in this process. Did they have the same confidence as in this is the way to go, or was there?
Yeah, they're an advisory board. So
yeah.
They're there to give you counsel and the benefit of their view. And they were extremely helpful.
Oh, great.
And extremely knowledgeable and extremely wise. And they were the ones who were like, Sue, like right away, they were like, you got to formally have a position. You need to meet with people. Everyone told me how easy it was going to be. Sue, this is going to be so easy. First of all, we had a great team. So we did have a great team.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, it's going to be like a piece of cake. And, you're going to do so well. And so in the fall of 2011, I started meeting our suppliers and going to supplier meetings, which is very important in our business. So we have large suppliers and we meet with them frequently, and we are the marketing teams. We're their partners in the,
mm-hmm.
and we've got long-term standing relationships with them. So, and they were, they came to town, they wanted to see Todd while he was sick. And I remember going to New York in December of 2011 and meeting with one of the suppliers, and he said, Sue, it's not rocket science. You'll do just great. Because at this point, everyone knew Todd was dying.
Mm.
And so, and by the way, the company was doing great.
Yeah.
Our team was great. That sense with a family business, too, when the family member that was the leader in the, and kind of the generation leader,
mm-hmm.
there's a presumption that you may not stay in business, right? So people aren't only grieving over the loss of someone they care about and
mm-hmm.
the future loss, but they're also grieving in a way about the company, how it may change, and will it stay in existence? So you're really dealing with, a lot, like even on the side of the company side, because the people side of it.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, I want to ask you one thing that Sue mentioned with the advisory board. How often does an advisory board say, oh, this is going to be easy to Does that happen a lot?
I don't think that happens a lot. And I think Sue found out it was probably anything but easy. But this notion of an emergency successor is very important. Who would have thought that Major Brands was going to need an emergency successor in 2010? It probably was not on anybody's horizon, but it's always important to have that, regardless of what you think the outlook is, because we just never know. And it is the job of a board to fill the CEO position.
Yeah.
A lot of family businesses don't have an active board. Therefore, it becomes the responsibility of the current CEO to identify an emerging successor. And this is something a lot of them don't do. They have to tell somebody else what they're thinking.
Yeah. When did your husband pass?
So on May 26, 2012, 2 days after my younger son's birthday and 3 days or 4 days before my older son graduated from high school.
You have your family life, you have the business life, and you're still going to school.
Yeah.
A lot going on at that time. Wow. How important was it to have that structure in place?
So I always describe 2012 as one of the most bittersweet years because it was obviously with the loss of Todd, just incredibly difficult. But the way people responded was incredibly amazing. So you got to think, like, bittersweet, I always think of it as balance, right? The good and the bad, but they're right next to each other. Mm-hmm. And the company was the best year in the company's history, 2012, benchmark. Mm-hmm. Great team, pulled together, did their jobs, did it well. Mm-hmm. You know, the response, the caring, the how people put that into it was so much like a family, you know what I mean? And that's why I always come back to the family and Major Brands is it was like people just pulled together, right? We're going to get it done. And people would come to me and say, you know, we're going to get it done. I remember a lunch I had before Todd in that fall of 2011 where we went to lunch at Lester's. It was in the Central West End and in the back room. And I had that one salad I really liked. But it was with all the sales, it was with a bunch of our sales leaders. And they just want to have lunch with me, and they just wanted to kind of talk. And I'll never forget how, and Todd's like, we're going to have lunch with everyone. And it was, you know, Lance and, you know, and Rick and Steve, you know what I mean? It was like, and I've seen these people over the years, right? Mm-hmm. But now it was this whole nother, I don't even know if they'd remember, but it was hugely, it became a significant memory point for me because we had lunch. And it was like, that's the team. Plus more, but it was the essence of that it was that lunch. We just kept plowing along. We kept doing our jobs. And so it was an amazing year for the company that we held together and we performed so well and we didn't skip a beat and we became stronger around who we were. And I think it's out of that I really kind of developed what became, I think, my focus or my passion for the company. We just decided this is who we are and it's community because the company's always really been about building the community. And Todd would always say, we build our business by building the communities we serve.
Yeah.
But community is two-sided. You have to build the community outside your building, but you have to build it inside too. Respect. But how do you build community? Well, you have to have respect for each other. You have to have integrity. You have to be part of a team. And when you're in a business, you have to perform.
Yeah.
So it's how you, it's not just what you do, it's how you do it. And it was the how we did it that I felt was my job to keep bringing that to the forefront. That we didn't know what was going to happen and some things happened we never wanted to happen, but we had these values firmly in place to help decide how we would tackle the challenges ahead when Todd passed away was going to be by being who we are. I would tell people, I don't know, I can't promise you that there'll be no changes. What I can promise you is that I'm going to stick to my guns as to who we are.
Lead with values in mind. It's a great motto.
We tell family business stories on this program. If you have a great family business story to share, how about you reach out to Dan Bean at CMA Consulting. CMAconsult.com is their website. You could give us a tip of a family business you know about, or maybe you're a part of one. CMAconsult.com is the website. We'll continue our conversation with Major Brands CEO and owner Susan McCollum next on the Business of Family Business on KMOX. This is part two of our interview with Susan McCollum. She's the CEO and owner of Major Brands.
Hi, I'm your host, Ryan Recker. Dan Bean from CMA Consulting joins us as well. And if you have a great family business story to share, reach out to Dan Bean. Their website is cmaconsult.com.
How many employees did Major Brands have at the time?
At the time, 600.
That's a lot of people. Was it difficult to have that sort of atmosphere? I mean, it seems like when you have that many people together, sometimes it's difficult to have that sort of, you know, everyone in lock and step. Or was it like the whole culture of the company? Did you find that it was easy to get everyone together at that point?
I found that people were together at that point. My job was to lead them and keep them together. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say it wasn't difficult. I just want to say that it was there, that it was within each and every person at the company that, you know, and it doesn't mean that you always agree. I always say, like, family businesses is kind of like, you know, when you're sitting around the table and you're going to go to the movies, but you can't decide which movies you're going to go to. And someone says, I want to go to that movie. And the other one says, no, I'm not going to that movie again. You always want to go to that movie. And one person says, yeah, but if we go, we're getting popcorn. And it's like, that's a little bit about what family business. It doesn't mean you're always, you know what I mean, in agreement, right? Have you ever met a family where mom didn't sometimes get mad at dad and the kids didn't fight? We would sit there and say, yeah, we're a family business. Don't think we're going to agree all the time, right? Yeah. But there's this essence of how we're going to treat each other. Mm-hmm. We're going to know we're connected. And I think that was, you know, was at the heart of this, was that there was a connection there that was that I had the privilege of walking into.
I'm sure being the CEO of Major Brands at the time probably had its other challenges. And I'm sure you said that, you know, things were going really well business wise. People are getting together. People are in lock and step. But I'm guessing that after 2012, and from what I understand, there's also some very difficult challenges you had to face as CEO.
There were.
Yeah. What were those?
So shortly after Todd passed away, the shark started to circle. My favorite movie is Jaws, so it's hard not to use that shark reference. I don't know if he circles the boat or does it crash right into it. But it was really that idea that there was this idea that things were going really well at Major Brands and should continue to go well. But in the environment that we were operating in, things had shifted. Mm. And with Todd's passing, there was really this sense that I think people doubted whether I was really in it to run the business. Mm. And this is outside of the business. This is kind of in the industry. The big wholesalers, the mega wholesalers in our industry, right? Huh. Multiple state wholesalers. There were suppliers. And I think there was this sense that, you know, unbeknownst to me, that they all believed I was whatever. I don't know.
That might be a nice way of putting it. Do you think they're trying to take advantage of the situation for their own business benefit?
Perhaps.
Okay. You're being too nice. I think there's probably some of that.
Yeah. I think you're right.
Okay.
They called up some people I never spoke to before and called up and one asked me if I needed money, which I thought was odd. Another asked me, you know, don't sell your company unless you call me first. Let me make this trade with you. This is a really good deal. And you're like, I don't think so. So I got, you know, a lot of phone calls, which later people said was, you know, oh, they were just calling about to express their condolences over Todd. And I was like, no, they never mentioned his name. Mm. Now, I think it's important to know that before Todd passed away, we also got some phone calls. People saying, we're going to take you out. You're not going to make it. We're going to take you out. Someone called after Todd passed away to tell me that I didn't understand the business and that no one would ever buy the business and that they just end up trying to put me out of business. Mm. And I would get these phone calls and initially talk to my advisory board.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, not try to weigh too much into them. They were trying to intimidate me. I knew that.
This sounds so brutal. All of this sounds brutal.
I would tell you it was pretty brutal.
Yeah.
I would tell you that I thought that I was going to get at least a bit of a reprieve. I was not naive, but I thought I might get a little bit of a reprieve, right? But by the fall of 2012, it was beginning to become very clear to me that we were going to be in a bit of a run for our money, if you will.
I see.
Run for our lives was actually more. They were trying to change some of those liquor laws we talked about before.
Mm-hmm.
So they were challenging the Missouri residency requirement. And we ended up, you know, working to help defeat that challenge. Being in law school at this time, I have to tell you, was another one of those unanticipated huge benefits. You know, all the people who had said, maybe you should quit. Good thing I didn't, because I think having been in law school really helped me prepare for the legal fights we were going to enter.
Interesting.
And gave me a certain amount of confidence, right? I mean, it was an interesting thing because I had always worked, but people presumed I'd never worked because I was the wife of a very successful, you know, business owner.
Yeah.
And they assumed I was, as I said to one supplier once, I know you think I've been watching TV and bonbons my whole life, and I do like bonbons and I love good TV, but I've been doing more than that. Mm-hmm. And I'd have to say stuff like that to people because I've always worked. I could give you a litany of my jobs.
Mm-hmm. What were some of those different, for lack of a better term, attacks that were going on in the company at the time? So you have major brands. There's other outside companies that may see that as a vulnerability based on some of the things that are going on around it. And they're out there and they're trying to chip away at you. What were some of those things that ended up happening that you had to fend off and then for the benefit of major brands you had to defend?
So in January of 2013, we began a series of supplier terminations.
Hmm.
So in our business, our suppliers are our business. So if we don't have products to sell, we don't have anything to sell.
Mm-hmm.
And our suppliers produce those products. So in our business, you have designated suppliers. So we had suppliers that we sold in Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And the big ones started terminating. So in January of 2013, one of our biggest suppliers terminated us.
Wow.
And said, this is the old, if they call you up, if they've never been to Missouri before and all of a sudden someone's visiting Missouri in our business, it's usually not a good sign.
Mm.
And they call on a Sunday and say, we'd like to meet with you Monday morning. And I'm like going, this is going to be a bad meeting. I know it's going to be a bad meeting. And that meeting, one of our largest suppliers terminated and said that they didn't believe the Missouri franchise law was valid. So they challenged our franchise law and then they also terminated us.
Oh, wow.
So that was in January, and that's when I think really, when all those feelings, those gut feelings are going, they're going to come after me.
Yeah.
They started to come after us. So in January of 2013, we had our first supplier termination, and we, being in law school, they filed a lawsuit. We filed a lawsuit back.
Who did they file a lawsuit with, you, or did they do it in general?
Preemptory because we have a franchise law in Missouri, so you can only terminate for good cause.
I see.
So they didn't have good cause to terminate, but they were going to say that, the passing of my husband might be cause, or they're just going to challenge the validity of that law.
Mm-hmm.
So they terminated both their wholesalers in the state of Missouri and wanted us to go bid for the business.
Wow.
So that was step one, knowing that things were starting to happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
And around that time, I started getting phone calls from other wholesalers saying, hey, do you know your Diageo, your biggest supplier at the time, they're going to terminate you.
Mm.
I get calls on a Sunday afternoon from a competing wholesaler owner who said, hey, they're terminating you. What are you going to do?
Mm.
And then I'd be like, oh, it's Sunday at 3. Maybe I'll go to yoga. I mean, I was like, why are you calling? There was clearly an intimidation strategy here around making me feel that I'm going to have to do something.
Right.
I can't keep this company. You're going to have to sell for nothing, basically. I didn't want to sell the company.
Sure.
There was no one wanted to buy the company, let's be clear. But you're just going to, you're going out of business was the message. You don't get it, lady. You're going out of business.
So where does Major Brands stand today? CEO and owner Susan McCollum will continue our conversation one last time with her. And this is part of a two-part conversation. You can actually go back and listen to it all at KMOX.com in the podcast section. I want to thank Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, who presents this program. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and two-thirds of family businesses do not make the generational transition, meaning when it's time for a family business owner to step down, some have identified the successor, maybe some have started that process, but very few actively work to unify the next generation. And the odds aren't that great. Two-thirds of family businesses do not make the generational transition. There's a lot they're up against. Let me tell you about CMA Consulting. How about you help your odds? How about you have someone to talk to, someone that's been through it before, someone that can answer your questions, and someone that could facilitate it? And maybe your family has failed to discuss this. It's very important. This is why you need to start preparing early. And if you haven't already, how about you give Dan Bean a call at CMA Consulting, 314-721-1860. That's the phone number. Or you can look him up online, cmaconsult.com, cmaconsult.com. This story is a long and winding road, a lot to it. If you missed any part of it, you can go back to kmox.com in the podcast section, listen to part one, or now the conclusion of part two with the CEO and owner of Major Brands, Susan McCollum.
In March, I think it was March 5th and 6th.
Of 2012?
2013. So we're not quite a year after Todd's passing.
Right.
Our largest, our third largest supplier at the time calls on my cell phone. It's 3 in the afternoon. And they call and say, we're terminating you.
Mm.
And we're suing you. We're suing you because we're going to say the franchise law is invalid. And so now I've lost two of my top three suppliers.
Right.
And I'm in law school, so I get this lawsuit. And I call my, what's the first call you make? Civil procedure. You call your lawyers and make sure that you, you know. So I call the lawyers and say, hey, they're filing a lawsuit. And they're going to say the franchise law isn't valid. And they're terminating us. And so we go about that. Now I'm like, okay, I've lost.
You're trying to mount a strategy at this point.
Yeah, but also like I had lost a smaller supplier 2 days before that for the same thing, March 1. On the next day, March 6th, 3 o'clock, it's important to note that it's 4 o'clock on the East Coast so they can get their lawsuits to court, right? So they're planning it so they can beat you to court. Mm. 4 o'clock, same time of day, my largest supplier, I've carried their brands for 80 years.
Mm-hmm.
Calls and says, we're terminating you.
Mm.
And we're going to sue you and franchise law is invalid. So now my company has just lost half its value.
Wow.
In about 24 hours. And all it's walking out the door, it's walking out the door in 90 days, it's leaving.
Wow.
And so I am driving home going, well, call the lawyers again.
Mm-hmm.
We filed another lawsuit. So months after Todd died, I've been terminated by my three largest suppliers. I'm in lawsuits with all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to have nothing to put on my trucks.
Wow.
And I am looking at this decision, right? Which is, I have no value to the company. No one's going to buy. The other wholesalers in the country are going after my brands. Two of them, Bacardi and Diageo, that terminated me, went to my competing wholesaler in Missouri. So all of a sudden, I'm going to have nothing to sell.
Mm.
And I have to make a decision. And again, I got phone calls from competitors who were saying, hey, the doors are blown off Missouri. What are you going to do? I got phone calls from people saying, hey, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And I remember saying to one person, my hair's not on fire and I'm not under my desk.
Mm-hmm.
But I really had, and I was getting a lot of advice from people too.
Sure.
And they're like, you know, Sue, you know, you're going to have to really decide. And I just remember sitting there thinking, you know, all right, I have just lost the value part of my company is in the spirits business and 150 million of revenue walked out the door in 24 hours. My most profitable 50% of my business, in essence. And I'm like, I got the asset value on the trucks, the warehouses.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, well, I really have, it's going to come down to this. I can fight and win, fight and lose. Or not fight at all. Not fighting at all and fighting and losing are the same thing, right? Endgame's the same. Just got trucks and a warehouse. The idea that I would just give up, so not fighting and fighting and losing was a way better option for me than giving up.
Mm-hmm.
And the end result would be the same.
Hmm.
So it really came down to fight or don't fight. I got to fight. Mm-hmm. This is a legacy business. This is wrong. Fundamentally, what they did was wrong. Mm-hmm. And they did it because I was a widow. Mm-hmm. And they were calling me the liquor widow, was my nickname. Mm-hmm. We were in a battle in the legislature at the same time trying to preserve, clarify this franchise law because it was under attack. Mm-hmm. The laws in existence, we're trying to keep it in existence. These companies are from, the companies that were terminating me were from France, from Great Britain, mm-hmm. And they don't like the American system of alcohol distribution. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I realized I was part of a much, much greater effort, which was to change the liquor laws in the U.S.
Yeah.
And it started by changing the franchise law in Missouri, and they really believed that because I was the widow, I wouldn't, and this is a direct quote, have the stomach to sue them.
Wow. Half of the business. Let me ask you about this before we hear how this plays out. But Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, that's a tough position to be in for any business. Within 24 hours, you see all of these different separate attacks happening on the company, and then you realize that could be half of your business going out the door almost simultaneously.
It's a devastating reality to come to grips with and to know that it is there and it is real. The wolf is at the door and the door's broken and the wolf can just walk right on in. So I don't know how Sue got through this, but wow. This is a real moment.
For major brands, Sue, how did you get through this? And when you started to fight back, what were you doing?
First of all, is it the Beatles? I get by with a little help from my friends. I got a lot of help from my friends.
Yeah.
So this was not something I did alone by any means. I think it's about clarity of purpose.
Mm-hmm.
People ask me how I could sleep at night. And it's an interesting thing. That's the one thing I could do, mm-hmm. is sleep at night, because I was doing what I thought I had to do. I didn't focus on the outcome. Mm-hmm. I focused on the outcome was less relevant than that this is what I had to do. Mm-hmm. Like, how do I give up on the company legacy? This was all that was left of Todd. What they did was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It was wrong. And I had two sons, and what was I supposed to tell them? I walked away. I didn't want to fight. I don't think they'd have thought twice about any of it. But I'm going to go back to that driveway, you know? Yeah. The plow came again.
Yeah.
And I still had the driveway. At the end of the day, and this is always what people were like, I couldn't leave the company anyway. What do you think you do? You put a big chain on the door and walk away? It would take you as long to fight for the business as it would have to just kind of dissolve the business.
Hmm.
So there wasn't like an easy answer here.
Mm-hmm.
So the answer that was the right answer for me was to say, I'm not going to give up. It was a hard choice,
mm-hmm.
but it was the right choice because they just weren't supposed to do this. It wasn't because we weren't performing. We were performing. It's because someone went to them,
yeah.
and offered them a lot to move. And thought they could put us out of business. And guess what? They didn't put us out of business.
Mm. Did you have three separate cases going at the same time?
I think at one point I had five.
Five separate cases going at the same time, and you're juggling all of these.
Well, yeah. I have lawyers, trust me.
Of course, with the lawyers, sure.
So I had to say goodbye to 100-plus employees.
Oh,
it was
wow.
very hard. Mm-hmm. And we went a couple years without making any money. I bought two small distributors.
Mm-hmm.
Bought Garco Wine Company, which was a great fine wine distributor, and Mike Cohen, who owned it, works for us today.
Mm-hmm.
He was going through some of the same challenges, and it was great to be able to. I just said I need to put more boxes on my trucks.
Mm-hmm.
And we also bought another distributor called Missouri Beverage.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went from having 212 suppliers to having 400 suppliers.
Mm.
So much smaller. Much more costly in terms of doing business, but it kept us in business. And we fought our way back.
What happened in those court cases?
So, litigation is a difficult thing, and it took, the issue was resolved in September of 2014.
Okay.
We went to a jury trial in the city of St. Louis, and, I left the courtroom on the last day with an apology and a substantial payment.
I see. A year and a half later, roughly, about a year and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More than 2 years after Todd died.
There was never any doubt you should have fought this, that you should have, the route you took was the right route.
It was the right route because it was the right thing to do. Because,
yeah.
And part of it was because people didn't expect us to fight back because fighting back is hard.
Yeah. Did you most recently have another acquisition?
So that's, I did have an acquisition, but not major brands. Very important.
Okay.
So to distinguish the two. So in July 2012, on a whole separate matter, we had owned an Anheuser-Busch distributorship.
Okay.
And sold it back to Anheuser-Busch in, I think, 2011, end of 2010. And we had had an opportunity to buy a distributorship in Miami in 2012.
Oh.
And it was another one of those crazy things. It was before all the lawsuits at major brands. And I'm like, this is a great opportunity. Anyway, I bought an Anheuser-Busch distributorship in Miami, Florida, called Eagle Brand Sales.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, I had the opportunity to acquire, and I'm in the process, subject to regulatory and other approvals, of acquiring a distributor near there called Double Eagle Distributing,
mm-hmm.
which is owned by the Orthwine family, who are part of the Busch family.
How about that? Yeah. Did you get a Clydesdale with that?
No, unfortunately
not. No Clydesdales.
No, but there'll be a picture one, though.
Cool. Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. You know, we just heard an amazing story here about major brands, well, General Standard for many years, too. And quite an amazing two-part interview, and I can tell why you brought Sue in for a two-part interview, because this is an amazing story.
This is a great story, and it almost brought tears to my eyes just to listen to Sue tell that story. Major Brands had a defining moment that seemed to last for several years. As a new CEO, she was tested as few of us ever are tested, and she and her team and her organization rose to the occasion. It's a great family business story and a great story about the smaller organization with courage and heart standing up for who and what they are. There's an old saying, it's not the size of the dog in the fight, but the size of the fight in the dog.
Mm-hmm.
Another great story this week.
Sue, I want to thank you so much for coming in and sharing the story about Major Brands and the ups and downs and everything you're doing today. Thank you.
Thank you.